come stand up here. Good morning, darling. We begin with the very wise words of Cahill Gibran. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but they are not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they will have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backwards, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children are living arrows sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows might go swift and sure. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. Today we are delighted to hold a naming ceremony to bless this new human life for a family that has been part of this community for 6 years. We express our feelings and needs of today, and yet for centuries parents have brought their children to places of worship, places of sacredness and meaning, in order that they may share their thanksgiving and their love and have their dedication witnessed by their community, their family, and their friends. This is why we are gathered here in this moment to share with Rebecca and Shane their wonder and their joy and their commitment and their dedication to this new being with which they have been blessed. This is a public celebration to mark the fact that all of us have a responsibility for the care and the nurture of all children. It is our task to work for a world of peace and justice in which he may have the freedom to grow and find his own fulfillment. It is our task to share with him our ideals, our hopes, and to help him develop his own. He has and will remind us of the zest and wonder of life seen through a child's eyes and a child's spirit. We are here today holding loving spirit around Shane and Rebecca. There are others who cannot be here today, so we are now going to call their presence in. Into this room, we welcome the presence of Eamon's grandparents, Bob and Judy Burns, and Bob and Sue Scott, and his guardian, Kathy Burns, Rebecca's sister. Rebecca and Shane chose to share this naming ceremony with you, because although their lives are going to take them far away from us, you have a place in Eamon's life as part of his wider community and a role in his upbringing, as you have with all children who come through our doors. And so I have a question to you. Do you, who are here assembled, accept the responsibility and pledge your support to the caring and nurturance of Eamon and bless him with a community around him that encourages individuality to bloom, that protects him from harm, and that celebrates the gifts and talents that he has brought with him? If so, please respond, we do.
We do.
To the parents, Rebecca, Shane, let me speak to you now as the parents of this beautiful being. In presenting Eamon in the ceremony, you invite us all to share with you in your joy and also as you support you in your dedication as you undertake to help with love and guidance the fullest possible unfolding of the personality of this child that is entrusted to your care. That undertaking, as you know, will not always be an easy one. The time may come when you will be called upon to sacrifice ambitions, lose sleep, when you may have to deny yourself pleasures, possibly set aside dreams in order that Eamon may tread more surely his life path. Though the choices are difficult and challenging, you accept this service to another whose life has been entwined with yours, knowing that your own lives will be richer and fuller for having done so. So I ask you, do you now promise that by example and affection, you will, to the best of your ability, help Eamon to an appreciation of truth and beauty, to grow to be an individual of strength and integrity, caring and love?
We do.
Good. Traditionally, this is also a time to recognize this child by his name. For it is by our names that we are known and acknowledged as individuals, as separate people with life and dignity of our own. We become connected to our names, and they become part of our forming identities, which in turn gives shape and meaning to our lives. Our names can be a stamp of individuality, and they can be our links to family and cultural ancestors. It's through our names that we are known. I ask you, what name do you give to this being?
This is Eamon Harry Burns Scott.
And will you tell us why you chose those names?
His first name, Eamon, is an Irish name, and we wanted to honor our Celtic backgrounds, Scottish and Irish heritage, and we just liked the sound of the name and that it means guardian. Harry is named for Shane's grandfather, who he learned so much about life from and was the kindest person that he ever knew. Burns is his second middle name, and that's to continue my family name because my dad was an only child and had two daughters. And Scott is Shane's last name and Eamon's last name, and the interesting thing about that is the same grandfather chose that name when he ran away from his family at age 14 because he grew up in an abusive home, and he changed his last name when he went from Newfoundland to New Brunswick and chose Scott.
Thank you. Our names have stories and connect us to our ancestors. We gotta get this done quick. In today's ceremony, we will be blessing Eamon with the four elements of earth, air, fire, and water. Yeah, come on in. The elements that create and sustain life, that link us to each other and to the earth on which we walk and move and dance. Eamon, Scott, Eamon Harry Scott Burns, I bless you with the elements of our common being, with earth and air and fire and water, with earth, Eamon, which is as solid as your given frame, we bless you. Take care of your body, for it is a good body. With air, which is as fluctuating as your given passions, we bless you. You will know hope and despair, anger and contentment, sorrow and joy. Feel your passions, my child, for they are good gifts. With fire, we bless you, Eamon, which is as illuminating as your given intelligence. Be curious. Reason with care, test the world, and question with integrity, for your mind is a good gift. And with water, Eamon, we bless you. Be rooted in good stories, grow in wisdom, Allow inspiration to fly free. Explore the great mysteries, for your spirit is a good gift. With water, I touch your brow. With earth, I touch your feet. With fire, I touch your heart. And with air, I touch your lips. Yes. And in so doing, I dedicate your life to the good of all humankind and to your own true growing. May you have the resilience needed for this uncertain future. May the blessing of an understanding heart, strength and integrity of purpose, and love received and given be yours and remain with you your whole long life. Bless be. Dear Eamon, you are part of the enduring cycle of generations of people. Yes, your birth affirms the miracle of life. Your name affirms your individuality. Today, we have dedicated you to a life of love, learning, and legacy. Congregation, please join me in these words. We lift our hearts in gratitude for life in its endless procession, for the parents that gave us birth and who cared for us in the days of our childhood, for the blessing of love and renewal that brings to us in our turn the gift of children. In this ceremony, we acknowledge our share in the responsibility for the making of this world in which our children will live. Please join me again. We pledge ourselves to work in hope and love to make of it a fairer and a kindlier place for the generations to come. Blessings on you, Eamon, and all the children of the world. May you all walk the sacred journey for a long, long, and healthy life. So be it. Bye-bye. Of course, we are always coming of age. How could we not? Time doesn't stop. We see it in this community today as we witness Eamon's development over the last 5 months. And we see it in Hannah and Charlotte, who many of you have known since they were toddlers. We notice time's effect on the aging of our bodies. Smooth, plump skin becomes thinner and wrinklier. And this is a wonder to me, not despair of fading youth. It's awe and wonder to be able to witness the transformation of time. Many of you know that Theo and I knew each other when we were in our 20s. And then when we met 30 years later, when I looked at our hands holding, I kept seeing 20-year-old hands. Until gradually, time sort of refocused itself in my brain, and I was able to see our 30-year more older hands. Now, how about you? Do you see age? Do you see the age that you are with awe and wonder? Do you love your body as it ages? Please do, because it is a good body, as I just said to Eamon. It is yours, and it houses all your life experience. We are all coming of age. Our age is marked with years, by new ideas and by new experiences, like blowing bubbles for the first time, learning to balance on a two-wheeler bicycle, the first trip on our own, learning to drive, the first kiss, first paycheck, the first baby, the first retirement, the first prairie storm, or the first extreme low tide when the seafloor was finally completely revealed. Ordinary, extraordinary, life experiences that shape who we are. Coming of age is not always easy or welcome. When my dad turned 70, he was uncharacteristically upset. And I asked him why. And he said he wasn't ready to turn 70. So I said, well, how old do you feel? And he told me that he always felt, and had always felt, about 35. I know that he had an idea in his head about 70 being really old, and it didn't fit with how he felt on the inside. Coming of age isn't easy at any age because we don't know what it's going to be like, or we may, like my dad, have an idea in our heads that it's going to mean something that we don't like. Like my daughter Lucy, when she was a teenager, she did not want to grow up. She was very, very clear about that. And then just the other day, I was asking her if she remembered when she said that to me so many times, and she said, oh, yes. And she told me that she didn't want to grow up when she was a teenager because she did not want responsibility. She just wanted to be free and have fun and do her own thing. And then gradually, bit by bit, in her own time, she discovered that responsibility wasn't as much of a burden as she had imagined. She came to understand that responsibility was actually related to freedom. So today she's a happy 26-year-old, and she's very happy with being responsible and free. You know, coming of age takes courage, like learning to ride a bike or leaving home. I remember standing in the middle of the airport facing the sliding doors that would separate me from my family and the life that I knew. I was all of a sudden absolutely terrified of walking through those doors. I was about to go on a trip that I wanted to go on, I was looking forward to. It was going to take me to a place that I was very curious about. But I suddenly just couldn't move. The fear paralyzed me. I almost turned and ran. Have you ever had a moment like that? Sometimes we do turn away. Sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes we're not ready. And that's okay too. That day, I happened to force myself to take step after step. And the fear lessened a tiny little bit as I moved through those doors, got onto the airplane, and that trip changed the direction of my life. So truly, truly amazing, was it? Sometimes the scary choice is our destiny. Sometimes we're afraid of growing up, but fear doesn't mean that we shouldn't do the job or have the adventure or take that next step. Fear, I learned, is part of life. And when I'm afraid, I know that there's a part of me that's also really excited. And I learned that fear and excitement is like the same coin, but different sides. It's just energy. You can flip it, and you can move with it. Coming of age is a big deal at any age. Coming of age, like most things in life, is also a process. Sometimes slow, sometimes quick, sometimes difficult, sometimes a complete, amazing, unexpected joy. Sometimes we feel behind our actual age. Sometimes we feel far ahead of it. Sometimes, as Little Bear said to Goldilocks, it's just right.
This past year, two of Beacon's youth, alongside youth from the North Shore congregation, participated in a program called Coming of Age, which is a year-long curriculum helping youth learn more about Unitarian Universalism and articulating their own beliefs through the writing of a credo, or statement of personal belief. Today, as part of the service, Hannah and Charlotte, who participated in this program, will be sharing with you the credos they have written. Before they do, I want to share with you a bit about what the experience has been. As I mentioned, it was a partnership with youth from the North Shore congregation. So Ariel Hunt Bronwyn and I shared the facilitating and hosting of the program throughout the year. Over its duration, the youth attended monthly workshops on various topics, including UU history, theology and spiritual beliefs, justice work and activism, and so on. There were also three retreats scheduled over the course of the year. The first one explored what it means to go on a journey. The second was an interactive walk through the downtown east side. And the third was a labyrinth walk in which we held guiding questions in mind that would eventually help us write our credos. As part of this journey, each youth were paired with a mentor who accompanied them in their learning. This year, those mentors were Janet Pivnik, who mentored Hannah, and Carol Woodworth, who mentored Charlotte. Both mentor and youth attended the workshops, and in addition, spent time outside of the structured program getting to know each other further and exploring and learning more. This mentorship is a key component to the Coming of Age program as it allows the youth to build relationships and ask questions. I want to take a moment to express my gratitude to Janet and to Carol for their contribution and their dedication to the Coming of Age program. I know that what might seem like something small or mundane, such as getting ice cream or going for a hike, can in fact have a lifelong lasting impression. So again, I want to thank you both for joining in on this journey. The final component of this program was the writing of the credos, which occurred outside of the structured program. Each youth were given a variety of questions as prompts and also a journal, this one here, titled To This I Give My Heart, which held suggestions and questions for further learning. And the last section of their journals also held some helpful hints for what to write. Some of the questions that were asked were, do I believe in a higher power? What guides my actions? How am I connected to the whole? And to what do I give my heart? There's no one way to write a credo or how a credo should look or sound. It is different because each person will receive it differently. This morning, we will have the privilege to hear from Hannah and Charlotte how they answered those questions for themselves. As a facilitator, I was privileged to witness Hannah and Charlotte through their journey, not only in the Coming of Age program, but also as the current youth coordinator here at Beacon. Something that continues to inspire me about both Hannah and Charlotte, I can't look at them right now, is their willingness to both show up and be open. Oftentimes, in this day and age, there are so many things that beg for our attention, and it can often be difficult to choose what takes priority. Time and time again, I witnessed Hannah and Charlotte prioritizing this program and being open to the process, and for that, I am grateful. Hannah and Charlotte, I specifically want to highlight your commitment to your own personal growth and the thoughtfulness to which you engaged with all aspects of this program. You are both strong and capable humans, and I'm so very excited to see where this wild and wonderful life will take you. You both give me hope for what is to come. And with that, I will now invite Hannah and then Charlotte up to share with you their credos.
My claim to the world. My name is Hannah, and I am afraid. I don't know who I am yet, and I'm still trying to figure out who I really want me to be. But something I have learned is that on a fundamental level, I cannot change that. There will always be parts of me from the past. There will always be room for me to grow as well. And as I figure this out, I find that my spiritual, religious, whatever you want to call it, standing on our placement as a people in the universe has always been a second thought. Because I find I want to know who I am as a person before I place that person onto a table of belief. But another thing that I have learned is that in a way, these things are connected. And I don't feel that whether you believe in God, Allah, or giant spaghetti monster that you become a better or worse person. No. See, I believe that being able to give yourself a place, whether leading or following, taking or giving, can help a person grow and help them find themselves. You see, I've been coming to church since before I was born, and I rarely batted an eye. I would show up, sing songs, play run outside, and grab crackers from the snack table after service. But I always felt, and feel to this day, that I could have invested more. like I don't deserve this. Because I was born into this church and I have grown with it. I was the youngest given a blanket by the oldest. I was the first dedicated and I've been here all my life. And now I am here to share my story, my beliefs, to which I give my heart, to the people who have watched it play out page by page, and to some who have influenced it in some way, those who I feel I never invested enough into, despite receiving the world from them. I still don't know who I am, but I know I believe in power of people. I'm always told to believe in myself. You can do anything, don't give up, but it's hard to do that when the world doesn't support that. And I don't mean in a sense of social media making people feel down or a need for perfectionism. If you look back in human history, we have almost always, without fail, believed that we are not in control. That everything we think is not us is what really has a say. We put our faith into a higher power and we kill, belittle, devote, sacrifice, accept, shun, respect, disrespect, keep peace, or start wars as a way to keep that force from destroying us all. Us as humans don't think we are in charge. We think we are small. In power, in size, in significance, we are a tiny piece in a world we are not completely, we are completely at a mercy to. We don't think of ourselves as important. We think we are evil, vain, and toxic. We have so many questions left without answers, and we can't just leave the questions behind and accept who we are. We are beings of wanting to know more. We can see this in our insatiable curiosity and our brains trying to fill in the blanks when we look at optical illusions. But if we could ever stop to realize just how great we really are, we could do anything. Since the universe is made up of the same basic stuff, you already have everything you need. You don't need angels or gods or quarks or anyone else to help you. You are already connected to everything in the universe, and it's already a part of who you are. And with that revelation, we finally reach our answer. I am Hannah, and I am afraid. I don't know who I am, but I'm where I'm meant to be, and I'll figure it out from here. Thank you.
I thought while writing my credo that I'd have to slave away, maybe look up some answers from the internet, or, you know, maybe make a thing or two up, like schoolwork. So, understandably, I was surprised when it all just kind of flowed out of my head and capered onto paper, like it had been there all along. I have the Coming of Age program to thank for that, because for the past year we've been doing a lot of discussing and thinking about the big questions, like, to what do I give my heart? Anyhow, to what do I give my heart? That is, that's pretty much the point of the Coming of Age program, I guess. It's on the front of the journals and everything. For that question, I have four answers, and the first is obviously the music. Because how can you not give your heart to the music? That's how music is made. You just pour your heart out into the notes, and then suddenly everyone understands. Music doesn't care about borders or race or religion or language. Music is all about empathy and feeling. It's what's in your heart. I want to write music for the rest of my life. A while ago, my friend Eva and I had a discussion. It was late at night, you know, when the big thoughts come out with the stars. And we were wondering, what are we here for? Why humans? Why are we different? And we concluded that humans were here to make connections and to feel. But sometimes things can go wrong and we forget how to feel. And my friend Mackenzie, personal experience, she describes it like being in shock. Like, you know something is really, really wrong, but you're stuck, and everything around you is going really, really fast, and you can't even do anything about it because you can't feel it. Now, I'm happy to announce that a few days later, she started feeling again, out of pure determination at that. One of my fears is living a useless life, of not contributing anything to society, to the greater good. So I was wondering, what's a noble job? What's a noble, worthy thing to do with my life? And I actually figured out that while music may not revolutionize or save lives or break records, music is noble and worthy. Humans have had music since the beginning, and it's a part of us. I think that humans need music. You know Antonio Vivaldi's Four Seasons? What a great piece of music. I love that one. There's just so much feeling and life in it, and it really does make you feel the four seasons. And that is another thing to what I want to give my heart. Because who wouldn't want to give their heart to the seasons? To feeling when it's windy and there's not too many people around and you just want to run and run and you feel like part of it and you feel like dancing. Or when it's snowing and you're out in it and the snowflakes are coming down and you want to spin and you want to be like one of the snowflakes. And so you spin and then you land up on the ground laughing with the snow falling on you and your face towards the sky. Or when it's raining miserably, but you're in the back of the bus with a friend, and you feel like it's just such a perfect day for it to be raining miserably, because in the back of the bus with your friend, nothing can really get to you. Or when it's sunny and you feel like humming along to those upbeat tunes, because nothing can get you down when it's sunny. So I give my heart to the seasons. And obviously I give my heart to the people I share my life with, my friends, my family, the people who teach me, the people who've raised me, and that includes Beacon! I've been coming here since I was 3. I've known people here for 13 years. I can remember Place Maillardville and the gathering place and the beautiful big courtyard. It's a bit disappointing to go back there and see how everything has shrunk. But now I can remember our nice Sapperton basement, where we set up a yurt each week to make it cozier. And through it all, the same community of people keeps coming back. Because of Beacon, I'm more open-minded, I'm not afraid to question. I see the good in people. Because of the community, because of those 7 principles that I still have trouble remembering even the kid version of. But the main idea is simple enough. Drink your water, eat your vegetables, and be a good person. Pretty good morals for a pretty good life, don't you say? Other people I share my life with are my friends, and I've learned from them too in the past year. I've learned that sometimes you've got to let people have their own opinions, which is hard for me, especially when their opinions are wrong. And sometimes you've got to let people figure stuff out for themselves and make their own mistakes. And then when they do, you just have to be there for them and pray that they make the great decisions and that they are their best selves. Pray to what, you ask? Well, that's another big great question, isn't it? What do I believe in? I believe that it's all connected. I'm not sure too sure about believing in God or angels or anything up there or maybe all around, but I do believe that there's something that makes it possible for a whole room of people to be able to breathe together, something that helps you out occasionally, if you ask real nice, but I do believe that it's you who's got to do the asking. No one else can decide your life. I believe that you're in control of what happens to you. So, about that helping you out when you ask, I've got a story. So, one time, about a year ago, I was late for dinner, halfway across the city at a SkyTrain station, having lost my compass card, and having no money to buy a new one. So, I was understandably a little bit panicked. So, I decided to look under the ticket machines. Unfortunately, no spare change had rolled under those. And then my next thought, being the resourceful girl that I am, was to ask people for money. Now, I tried about 4, and it was too awkward, so I gave up. No one was feeling charitable that day. So anyway, in the middle of SkyTrain station, I was either ready to give up and, you know, sit down in a puddle of tears, or just to start walking all the way home. So then I implored the whatever it is. I said, please, anything, if you're out there, I need help. Just 180 is all I need. Nothing happened. So I walk over to the SkyTrain station, and I didn't get 10 yards until I looked down. And there, on the floor, was a $5 bill. It registered. $5 bill. And in that moment, I believed. I believed that anything was possible. But even though I believe, I'm still afraid. I'm afraid of dying. I'm afraid what happens after you die. I'm afraid of how often the ambulance and police sirens seem to go off in this city. And I can't decide whether I'm more afraid of an eternal afterlife, because wouldn't that get boring? Boredom is scary. Or, you know, just nothingness after you croak. And I mean, nothing shouldn't be scary, but when all I've ever known is something, it is. I'm also afraid of being forgotten when I die. It's selfish, I know, but I'm afraid of my life being for nothing. Just being another boring life that doesn't contribute anything to the greater good. And that's the biggest fear I have. I fear for humanity, that every single one of our lives is pointless. It seems that humanity is working towards something, but what? We've made so many advances, technology, medicine, mindset. But one day when the sun swells up and engulfs the world, or when the meteor comes and strikes us down, or when global warming kills off every last one of us, or if we just keep living the way we've been living, who will remember us when we all die? And that's why I reach out. That's why I embrace my humanity. I want to know who's out there. I want to know who's also awake. So on those nights when I'm doing a project for tomorrow, and it gets to 1 or 2 in the morning, on those nights when all the other members of my family have gone to sleep, on those nights when I feel like I'm the only one in the whole city, in the world, those nights I climb up on my bed and I look out my window at the lights of the city and the darkness of the night until a SkyTrain passes. And when that SkyTrain passes, there's always at least one other person there. One other person. And I don't feel so lonely anymore. Because that one other person and me, we're connected. We're both awake. We're all connected, and I believe that the cure for pain is love. And even though sometimes it hurts to love as well, that is what I give my heart to. To this I give my heart.
Charlotte and Hannah to come back here. I invite their parents who are here with us today to come up, and I invite the mentors to come up.
So we're just going to take a moment to each share a wish we have for Hannah and for Charlotte. I will start, and then we'll pass it to each parent and then to each mentor. So Hannah, my wish for you: no matter what fears or insecurities arise over time, as they do for everyone, I wish that in all your life experiences, you know you are surrounded by people who care for you and who are invested in your well-being. And in turn, I hope that helps you to always trust in yourself and your abilities. Charlotte, you are a go-getter. And so my wish for you is that all your drive and initiative taking and sense of adventure, that you lean into that leadership qualities that you have and that you possess, and that those qualities take you somewhere wonderful. Pass it along.
I changed my mind about what I was going to say when I was watching Aileen, because you screamed through your dedication. Holy crap. You have so much self-determination. I'm not worried about that. What I wish for you is that you will accept community and help and support from the people all around you who love you and are rooting for you.
Hannah, what I wish for you is for you to continue to see the beauty in the world and for the courage to share that beauty with us, the beauty that we often cannot see.
Charlotte, my wish for you are there's seven of them, and they start with adventure, and then friendship, and gifts, happy days, knowledge, love, and magic. I have so enjoyed getting to know you a little bit more, and I appreciate your enthusiasm, your free creative spirit, and your honesty. And my wish for you is that you will live those qualities for the rest of your life.
Hannah, over the past year, I've got to see so many of your gifts, your creativity, your wisdom, your insight, your kindness, as we've got to know each other a bit better, even your sense of mischief. And what I wish for you is that as you embark on the path, that it will teach you to trust yourself and to stand strongly in who you are.
Thank you all.
Thought, which is similar to others, is that you trust in yourselves and have faith in your own voice. No matter what the world says to you, always listen to your own heart and your own conscience, and you'll be fine. We're now going to sing a song, and while we're singing, Charlotte and her group will be moving around the back of the circle, and Hannah and her group will be moving this way. And then when they get to the top of the aisle, you'll see that their mentors and their parents will start an arch. And as they do that, those people that are on the aisle here, if you too would stand up and make an arch so that as we're all singing, Hannah and Charlotte will walk down through that arch back to the spot.